Welcome back, everybody. My name's Maggie Dawn. You're listening to the Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. Well, you are in the midst of Civic Media's statewide Scani Summer Text to Win contest. During this hour, download the Civic Media app for free wherever you get your apps from. Just search for Civic Media. There it is. Download that puppy. And then use the text button on the app to text this word, RELAX. R-E-L-A-X is the word of the hour, this 4 o'clock hour. It's going to register you to win one prize that will be given away to folks that text this hour. For our daily prize, it will enter you to win one of our grand prizes. We've got getaways to Door County and Wisconsin Dells, all kinds of cool stuff. You can check out all the contesting rules and prizes at civicmedia.us. Text that word, RELAX. R-E-L-A-X during the hour to qualify to win this afternoon. The fun continues tomorrow and every day for the next 2 weeks. Keep your station locked in with Civic Media all day long, every day, Monday through Friday, for multiple chances to win. Again, today's word, relax. I'm always more relaxed when he's with me. It's a former U.S. attorney for the Eastern District of Wisconsin, Jim Santel. So we've been talking about the parade of fools that Donald Trump has appointed to critical positions. A guy appointed to lead FEMA, who said yesterday to his FEMA leadership and staff, oh, I didn't know there was a U.S. hurricane season. Well, it started on Sunday. They're expecting potentially as many as 10 hurricanes. We know that funding is running out because Republicans refuse to increase FEMA funding. People will be hurt. People will die because of these extreme weather events. The guy has no emergency management experience at all. The gentleman's name is David Richardson. He has no emergency management experience. I just want everybody to... So I know a ton of emergency managers. All of them worked in intelligence and military or as first responders of some type. It is really difficult work. This guy doesn't know what he's doing.
It is hugely difficult. And we also know that there are people out there who could take these positions. Why? Because, yes, they started after graduate school at the lowest levels, and they work way up for sometimes 10, 15, 20. You and I, again, in our various legal areas, spend a lot of time inside government and eventually become familiar with how things work.
You're a freaking expert.
Right,
you're an expert.
Right.
This guy, the guy who didn't know what the Social Security... I googled the job. The guy from the IRS who can't say what the words mean when the federal law says the president can't tell you to investigate certain people.
The head of HHS who did not know that Medicaid does not involve monies paid into it by the recipients of it, deductibles he was talking about, and other financial pieces of it. He's head of HHS now. Didn't understand Medicaid.
No, says right? Okay, so here's where I wanted to get to. One of the executive orders that Donald Trump has issued is an executive order that targeted a guy by the name of not just Chris Krebs, I'm blanking on the other guy. What's his name? The guy, Anonymous, the guy that wrote the Anonymous book.
Right,
Miles Taylor. No. Thank you. I knew my brain would turn back on. Miles Taylor. It individually targets him. We know that Donald Trump has taken a special interest in Harvard. He's targeting Harvard. We know that Donald Trump has fired many, many people in all kinds of like low-level innocuous jobs. You talked about the lady that was running the portrait gallery. If they made a contribution to a Democrat, you're fired. Here's what I think we're looking at. Not only are people who are nincompoops more likely to simply go along with whatever somebody's saying, does it open up the possibility of greater corruption? Yes. Is it dysfunctional? Makes it easier to break all these critical government systems if you actually realize that that's what they're trying to do, is break and break down and dismantle government. All of that's true. And there's this other piece. We saw in the first Trump administration, people like Miles Taylor, who spoke out. He did it anonymously then. He's subsequently said it was me. He wrote that blistering op-ed that said, basically, there are all kinds of people in the Trump first administration that are trying to be the guardrails.
We are staying inside government to try to make this work, right?
To make
don't
less
worry.
Terrible.
Well, you should worry, but know that we're still here.
There
and
are
we
some
are
good
competent,
people. Right.
Right.
they kept, by Miles telling, they kept all kinds of stuff literally off the president's desk because it was illegal. It was immoral. People were telling him that. Now he is going after all of those people, right? The Liz Cheneys, the Bill Barrs, the Miles Taylor. Here's what is really, this is kind of in the weeds, everybody, but I want to get your reactions. 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. And I wanted to talk about it with you specifically, Jim, because I knew when I took my job as Corp Counsel of Milwaukee Council, you knew when you took your job and agreed to go through the appointment and vetting process to become a U.S. attorney. I knew at all times relevant thereto exactly where the bounds were, where the lines are, where the boundaries are. Mm-hmm. Okay, I knew I was going to do that job objectively. I wasn't going to pull any punches. I wasn't going to be an arm of politicians with political agendas. I knew all of that.
The standards were there, right?
Correct. All of those standards. I knew that I was probably going to tick a bunch of people off when I did my job correctly because I wasn't going to bow to my appointed me, right. Or I wasn't going to bow to all kinds of political pressure. I needed to do the job. And I knew that they could potentially kick me out of my job because of that.
Right.
And here's the thing. I knew that I had a strong resume. I had established a reputation for expertise. I was well-respected in my fields. That if I was no longer the Corp Counsel for Milwaukee County, I could go get another job.
The world does not stop turning on its axis for you and the
correct,
rest of us, right?
Correct.
You've got something out there based upon all the experience you have, the education, the practical applications of those standards. And what that means, of course, the point you're making is that when it comes to those decisions you're making inside that position, you are guided by the law, by the facts, and you do not, because you're freed up by that, right? You're freed up by that knowledge that you can go someplace else to tell people on both sides of the political aisle across the board.
I'm not doing your bidding.
I'm not doing your bidding. You can say, this is what I always tell assistant U.S. attorneys, the great thing about government jobs, it's not only the not only the opportunity, it's the obligation to say no.
Yes.
Your client is calling upon you to say no. Sometimes yes. Very often
sometimes
yes.
Sometimes no.
Right? Right? But sometimes no. And you've got that liberty to do it because, number one,
not
you are,
just liberty.
Right, right?
The duty to say
right,
no.
The oath.
And it's not just, is it constitutional or not? Is it moral or not?
Right.
Is it going to have a overarchingly... We are all called. That is part of your duty. You resign those jobs if people will not listen to you and you believe that they're actively doing harm. Here's what the problem is with all of these nincompoops in these jobs. If I can be so blunt as to say, these people aren't not just lacking in expertise in these fields. They have absolutely no credibility at all whatsoever. All of them would never be hired actually in the private sector to do any of the things that they're doing in the public sector. Wouldn't happen because they're so bad at it. They have no... So what this creates is not only a deep lack of meaningful, credible expertise at the heads of these incredibly important departments. Hegseth, DOD, right? Tulsi Gabbard.
Right.
RFK, don't listen to me. I'm not a doctor. I don't give medical advice. Yes, you do, sir. That's literally the job that you said. Again and again, Billy Long, IRS, this Bisignano or whatever his name is, over and over and over and over again.
The deputy director of the FBI, right? Same situation.
Yes.
There. Somebody was coming in not only with an axe to grind, but no background,
no
information.
Background. And so these people not only, there's two things. They have no alternative than to serve Donald Trump because they don't have the credibility, the respect, or frankly, the intellectual heft to even know where the lines are or to act in a credible way, to garner respect of those that aren't required to agree with. Like, that is what respect and credibility. So they have nowhere else to go. And they're terrible at it, which means they don't know where any of the lines are. This is sort of the double-barreled problem. They'll just accept whatever the president says because they don't know any better. And even if they had a glimmer of that light, they can't say no because where else would they ever go to get a job that gives them this much power.
And they know there's that no day place. To day, I've got to say yes, because my very job right now depends upon that. As you just said, there's no ability to fall back on something
there's
else.
There's no fallback for these people. Yeah, they can go work in a conservative thing. They're not going to have any real power or control. They can't do anything else but what they're doing now. They are at the apex of their powers. And I say this about a lot of Congress people on the MAGA regime side too. They stay and they supplicate themselves because A, they don't know any better, and B, when they have these brief moments of lucidity, moments of clarity, as folks that are in the program and know Bill would say, they can't leave because where would they go? MAGA is scorched earth. There is no middle ground. There's no place for conservative dissenters. And this brings me, Jim, to this moment where we are now seeing largely in amicus briefs, which is the name of your fine program on Saturdays, Amicus, a law review. Amicus means friend of the court. It is when a group of people who have an interest in a particular case get together and they write to the court and say, here is our collective expertise and our viewpoint on this particular case. We are now seeing conservatives, and I'm talking conservative elites.
It is a list of everybody that we know from the past couple of decades.
From all corners, economists, lawyers, former elected officials, former federal judges, coming together and case after case after case after case, filing amicus briefs, saying, I believe their audience actually isn't the judge, though it is nominally the judge. Mm-hmm. But I believe that these conservative legal scholars and public policy scholars are actually trying to talk to other conservatives. Right. Donald Trump has made it so hard on network news and other places. Like, he is criminalizing critique, right? You critique him, that's a crime.
Right, right. I'll refer you for investigation if you do, by the way, right?
So what are these conservatives? They're gathering together in large number, and then they're speaking as a group to other conservatives, I believe, to try to create some airspace and cover for other conservatives of good faith to speak up.
Whether they're in Congress, other places, to stand up and say, you know what? There's this group of very credible people historically and even presently. And look at what they're saying. They're not saying crazy things at all. Even with when we get to the issues here about the tariffs themselves, they're not contesting whether or not a particular tariff with respect to Mexico or Canada is right or wrong.
No, it's
they're
actually
saying
beside
something
the point.
Fundamentally
yes.
about the Constitution and the incapacity of a president to do this. And they're saying it again in great numbers. Senators, as you said, others and who have got, again, the bona fides in the conservative area. But actually, in this brief also, you've got some Democrats and some liberals mixed in, right?
Yes. If we thought it was important before for conservatives to speak out, every day that Trump's authoritarianism continues forward, it is more important for conservatives to speak now. Jim and I discuss with each and every one of you, 855-752-4842. You're listening to The Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network.